You're listening to Engage with Andy Bush. To connect with the program today, please send an email to andrew.bush@comcast.net. That's andrew.bush@comcast.net. Now, back to this week's program.
Welcome to Engage with Andy Bush. I'm your host. And my blog and research, by the way, can be found at andrewbush.com. Now, in this segment, we're going to have a little bit of fun because we're going to discuss President Obama's budget and new taxes with Cato's Chris Edwards. Now, Mr. Edwards is the Director of Tax Policy Studies at Cato and editor of downsizinggovernment.org. He joins us from Washington, D.C. Chris, welcome back to Engage.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me, Andy.
Wow, this is great. Obviously, the president released his budget this week with his spending and tax priorities. The president has stated he wanted to simplify the tax code while adhering to something that he calls middle-class economics. Chris, how did he do?
Well, you know, the funny, you raised the issue of simplification, and indeed, he labels his tax proposal, you know, he puts the word simple in there, and he uses that word simplification all the time. But of course, it just isn't true if you start looking through his proposals. I mean, you know, just for example, his proposal to hike taxes on college savings plans, obviously that would complexify the code. His proposal to impose capital gains taxes at death, obviously that would complexify the code. All his additional and expanded credits for families, those would complexify the code as well. So there is a big difference between his rhetoric and the reality.
I think you'd have to, whatever gains you would get as a middle-income earner, you'd probably have to pay it right out to the tax preparer because things are so complicated. Hey, one of the provisions he includes is to impose a one-time tax. It's a 14% tax on accumulated earnings of U.S. companies. Then he wants to impose a 19% tax on those earnings going forward. Now, the White House estimates this one-time tax would generate about $268 billion over 10 years, and the 19% tax would generate about $206 billion. Chris, I got to ask you the real simple question. What's the problem with this tax?
Look, I mean, the United States is already far out of international norms in terms of our corporate tax system. You know, we have a top rate of 40%. The average rate in the world now is about 24%. Nearly every country in the OECD has gone to what's called a territorial system where you only tax domestic activity. The United States still has a worldwide system. And President Obama would make our worldwide tax system even more punitive on U.S.-based multinationals, you know, companies like Intel and Apple and GE that have operations around the world. I think that those multinationals do great things for the U.S. economy. The Obama administration seems to want to penalize them all the time. So the U.S. multinationals now have about $2 trillion offshore invested in foreign activities in their foreign subsidiaries. President Obama wants to impose a 14% compulsory one-time tax on them to raise about $270 billion. That's an absolutely unprecedented thing to do. I mean, in a lot of ways, it's retroactive taxation. That money had been previously earned, and under current rules, taxes can be deferred until repatriated to the United States. But Obama's going out of his way to impose this giant grab on $270 billion of earnings. It's really unprecedented.
Well, to me, I think it's dangerously close to confiscatory because, I mean, we really don't want to encourage our government to seize property, and that's somewhat what they're doing here, isn't it, by taking money that is already, you know, that by our past tax code, these companies have done nothing wrong, they've followed it, they've earned money overseas, and mainly when we're talking about big tech and big pharma companies, and they've created jobs here in this country. It's like a land grab to me.
It's really bizarre. I mean, one thing that the Obama administration and folks on the political left don't seem to get is that U.S. multinational companies, their foreign subsidiaries, are mainly complementary to their U.S. production. In other words, the fact that GE and Intel and other companies have foreign operations in places like China and Brazil, that is generally good for the U.S. and good for U.S. workers because it helps those foreign subs help suck exports out of the United States. So we want foreign subsidiaries of U.S. companies to do well and to help expand U.S. exports around around the globe. But for some reason, President Obama wants to punish those foreign subsidiaries. And I think it just goes to a fundamental misunderstanding about the importance of large corporations to the U.S. economy. I mean, large corporations are easy to kick around in the popular press, but when it comes down to it, there's tens of millions of Americans who have high-paid, high-skilled jobs working for these companies, and they do very good things for our economy.
Yeah, I just hate the picking the winners and losers, and it's almost random. It's just, well, it's not random. They're trying to get a big pot of money that they envision really belongs in the United States or belongs under the aegis of the Treasury and that they should be paying taxes on it. But that just, it's maddening to some extent. And really, Chris, it gets us away from, when we're looking at things generally with the tax code, it really gets us away from what drives economic growth and what policies do we want to have with taxes to really engender and incent economic growth and job creation in the United States?
No, that's exactly right. I mean, I think you sort of put your finger on it here. The meaning of economic growth has become so twisted and distorted in recent years. Growth is often presented in newspapers and by liberals as something that only the government can do. If with government spending, right, you can stimulate the economy in the short term, supposedly. But economic growth is really about businesses doing more capital investment, buying better and newer machines, improving their management, raising their productivity. That is what economic growth really is, and that is what is ultimately going to raise American wages and incomes. And so the Obama administration seems to think that there's somehow Washington can improve productivity with more regulations and more spending, but it simply isn't the case. We get more productivity when American businesses, big and small, buy new machines, expand their factories, train their workers. That's where productivity and growth come from.
Yeah, and that's a fantastic point. I mean, I think that's the thing, too, is that what people lose sight of is that we want to encourage capital formation because it does so many of the things that you just mentioned. You know, and when you have capital gains taxes, which is the president has that in his budget, you know, an increase in the capital gains tax, you know, again, for most, it seems like a good idea to raise revenue, but it really just hurts capital formation and really hurts the economy.
Well, that's right. I mean, just about every major industrial country has a low capital gains tax rate. Indeed, the top tax rate in the 34 biggest industrial countries is only 18%. Well, Obama would push our federal rate up to 28%, much higher than the international average. And the thing is, all those other countries, Canada, Britain, France, they have low capital gains tax rates for good reason. Capital gain is the return to investment in growth companies. If you want more growth companies, the Apples, the Facebooks, those sorts of companies, you lower a capital gains tax rate to improve the return for people taking the risk and investing in those risky startup and growth ventures. So there's this fundamental connection between growth in new business and the capital gains tax rate. And again, it just seems that this administration doesn't understand that.
Yeah, it's a little bit astonishing. I mean, I guess it's not, but I mean, it's just, you know, look, we want to do good things. We want to make the right decisions, especially when it comes to taxes, to aid the economy and to aid people. And unfortunately, it seems like you mentioned that there's a group of people that believes that you can raise taxes and have no downside and then in turn create social spending from it, and then that's really the driver of economic growth in the United States. And it's really stands on its head almost every piece of research that's out there. And it's certainly, ladies and gentlemen, this is what I love about talking to Chris Edwards. It certainly goes against everything internationally that we're really competing with these other nations to draw companies and to keep companies in the United States.
That's right. I mean, the curious thing, when you look at places like Europe and Canada and Australia, Americans would generally think of those countries as more left of center than the United States. But even a lot of left of center countries with left of center governments have sharply cut their corporate tax rates because they realize in the modern global economy, it is economic suicide to have a high corporate tax rate. You scare away your businesses for no good reason. So you get even countries like France that are, you know, for nationalistic reasons, they, you know, their thinking is, look, we need a low corporate tax rate because we want French corporations to do well in the global economy. So that type of, you know, so in that sense, we want sort of more nationalistic thinking in this country. We want policymakers to realize that a high corporate tax rate is shooting, we're shooting our own economy in the foot, and it makes no sense.
That's what I love about Texas. Half the time I read something and I look at it, I go, that's crazy. It means this, and then I have smart guys like you and even Pam Olson over at PwC correct me on what actually the effect is, and then I go, oh, and I feel really dumb, but then I go, if I'm not getting it, you know, then I feel really bad for, like, people out there who really don't pay any attention to this stuff, so that's crazy. Well, hey, I got to ask you, you know, because we're getting into the silly season as far as the lead-up to the presidential election. And I know you don't follow a lot of this stuff, but just tell me, is there anyone out there that you've seen put out proposals along the lines of tax and tax reform that look really interesting to you?
You know, so far we've got more than a dozen Republicans, it appears, going to be running for the White House in 2016.
Right.
I'm not sure whether any of them have put together cohesive sort of tax reform plans yet. I mean, I think all the leading candidates will have tax reform plans. I see so far that, frankly, a number of them are talking about, you know, increasing various types of tax credits, which I think is totally the wrong way to go for tax reform, and mm-hmm. It goes against the kind of Reagan-style tax reform to get rid of these sorts of tax credits and use the money to lower rates. So I hope we have some leading candidates for the White House in 2016, frankly, in either party, that goes back to the 1986 tax reform approach, which is to get rid of the loopholes and lower rates. President Obama is certainly not going in that direction, but so far I haven't seen too many Republicans who believe in making the tax code more neutral, letting businesses and individuals make decisions for themselves without being distorted by the tax code.
All right, Cato's Chris Edwards, greatly appreciate you coming on the show today. I feel a lot smarter every time you come on. Thanks.
Thank you, Andy. See ya.
All right, time for a break. You're listening to Engage with Andy Bush. We'll be right back.
When it comes to business,
you'll find the experts here.
Voice America Business Network.
Conversations concerning money can be a bit daunting. There can be limitations with building wealth, and in general, people don't want to discuss their money until now. Listen each week for Conversations with Money, featuring Franco Caligiuri and Marissa Sipolinski. Our guests make money the conversation piece, how to build and maintain wealth, working with charities, and money and family members. Listen every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.